Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Baseball Talk Radio Show. My good friend Rich Baxter, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Gary? Welcome to 2021.
2021. Do you believe it, Rich?
No. I couldn't fathom a time where we would not be talking 2020 anymore, but it's so good to be looking at it through the history, so to speak.
Yes, glad to see that freaking year go away. It was such a nuisance and everything, and now we're in a new year. But, as we start this new year, Rich, we've got that ugly trend that we had last year. We continue to lose Hall of Famers.
Sadly, Tommy Lasorda passes away at 93 years old, one of the big names of the game for, 50 years, probably?
Forever, it seems, right? And one of the guys that you wouldn't have thought, you wouldn't think would have been lost to us as... He just seemed to go on forever.
Yeah. 93 years old. Hard to believe he was 93. I was in shock when I read that.
Yeah. It really, 93, he had a really good long life. And of course, he always said he bled Dodger blue, if you remember that. And what can you say? Tommy was a character. He was around a long time, and he lived to see his Dodgers win again a World Series. So I guess he went happily.
Yeah, for sure. A legend in the game. He was one of those guys like a Yogi Berra, someone like that, probably Casey Stengel, which I didn't get to experience him too much as a young baseball fan. But yeah, these guys are like bedrocks of the game, so to speak. You know, when you take somebody like him out of the game, it's like a big piece of the foundation of baseball.
So true. It just takes away, as you say, the games that we grew up with, the guys that we grew up with. And I guess that's part of getting old, We're getting older and they're getting older as well. And unfortunately, with old age, nobody gets out of here alive and neither do they.
Yeah. And of course, Mike Piazza, relative of Lasorda's, he brought him into the game, became a superstar against all odds. And he had I don't know how he dealt with other team mascots, but he really didn't like the Philly Fanatic at all. Because, of course, the Philly Fanatic would be out there and wanting to smash the helmets, a cheap batting practice helmet of the Dodgers when they came into town, or walk on one of the jerseys, something like that. Well, Tommy Lasorda would have none of that. And he used to get out there and there's a famous video that circulates to this day of him with a Dodgers dummy beating the Fanatic over the head with it because the Fanatic somehow obtained this dummy and was trying to portray the Dodgers in a bad light. So, yeah, he didn't have none of that. He didn't like... And he didn't like the San Diego Super Chicken at all.
Yeah, I don't think he cared much for mascots at all, It seems like Tommy was an old school dude, and that was it. He didn't He didn't go for all of the ruckus. Though, you know, it's odd because he did spend a lot of time in the minors before he got to the majors as a manager. And the minors all had that kind of stuff, the mascots and the crazy things between innings. So you think he would have been used to it. Maybe he just had enough of it.
Yeah, he didn't go for any disparaging comments or, you know, actions against the Dodgers, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, so, you know, as we said, Tommy Lasorda passed away at the age of 93, and Rob Manfred has announced, Rich, that we are going to have a 162-game season. Prepare for 162 games. He told the owners, and we're going to have this. I guess we'll have all the All-Star game and all the other festivities that we didn't have last year.
Yeah, going to be interesting again, as we were saying last year with the season. Of course, the MLB expecting a full season at this point. Hockey just started up the other night. They're playing to no fans again in the stands, of course. And baseball may start out that way as well. Although it seems like there may be a light at the end of the tunnel. That light is way far down the tunnel right as we speak. Unfortunately, from coast to coast, we've had record-breaking deaths attributed to the COVID-19 virus, 4,200 probably last week at some time in one day. That's, you know, I think we're up to almost 400,000 dead across the country of the U.S. alone, which is, you know, it's a terrible thing still that we haven't seen the last of this yet.
Yeah. And, we do have a new president coming in, so that's going to solve everything, according to him. So, you know, we'll have to see, but I don't know. I believe it when I see it. You know, they're talking about the DH. They don't think it's going to be this year in the National League, but it'll probably be next year. I think they want to use it as a negotiation tool. But they do say that what they want to see is the seven-inning doubleheaders stay and the man on second base in an extra inning game. And I think, to me, that man on second base is the most stupidest rule I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I could do without that. Now, the only way I like the seven-inning doubleheaders is if they did it like they did from years ago and schedule the doubleheader, you pay one price, you get in for two games, then I would do the seven gamer. But don't give me the 1 o'clock start and the 6 o'clock start being two separate gates of seven innings. That to me is a farce.
You know, that's an interesting point, because that's technically, I mean, they call it a day-night doubleheader, but that's an interesting point. Does that count as a seven-inning job then, or would they have to do 2 9-inning games? That's, you know, I never even thought of it. That's a great point about that. Maybe we can get an answer to that. Somebody out there can answer that for us, but Rich, you've done it again with that. You stumped everybody, I think, out there.
Well, I have to go back to my dad to thank for that, because that's the games he would want to take us to. If you're going to go to one baseball game during a season, you go to that twilight doubleheader, two for the price of one, and I can still remember his motto on that.
Well, a great motto it is. You know, I can remember going to them games, and I can remember when I was younger, I wanted to go to the games, and then I reached an age where I didn't want to go to a doubleheader because it was too long, And then I wanted to again, and now I'm kind of in between, because I kind of like doubleheaders, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to sit there, you know, because then the knee hurts and the hip hurts, and you know, you got to be a certain age.
move around the concourse.
That's where that is. But yeah, that's a great point. I wonder if anybody addressed that issue at all.
Yeah, with the way money and teams being hungry as they are anymore, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that you wouldn't get the 2-for-1.
Yeah.
But as you said, the 2021 season expected to start on time. Here's an article. You're watching our video feed. MLB Trade Rumor says as of a couple days into the year that even in the time of COVID-19, they expect the season to go off as planned. April 1st is supposed to be the starting day of the season, with a full spring training as well. So we're about 1 month out of spring training, Gary, so it's starting to get a little close.
Yeah, and I think that we'll learn a lot more at the end of this week after the inauguration and everything, and I think people will get a better feel of what is going to happen in the country, whether he goes to a lockdown or not, even though they've shown that lockdowns are ridiculous. They don't work at all. And because when you come out of the lockdown, your immune system's down anyway, because you're used to not being in, you know, with people. So I would imagine they'll examine that and they'll see. But I think a lot more is going to be known at the end of this week.
Yeah. And as you said, a couple days from now, the new president comes in and we have to deal with it. So whatever happens, we got the 91st All-Star game on tap this year, Gary, supposed to be played in Atlanta, July 13th, 2021. So that's interesting to start off the season. Of course, the MLB itself was founded in 1903, although baseball goes back before that. The National League started in 1876. The American League, 1901, and this year will be the last year for Cleveland fans to associate their baseball team with the name Indians, believe it or not.
Now, will they go the year with the Indians moniker, or are they scheduled to change it before the season, or will they go with the Cleveland baseball team like Washington did? Any word on any of that?
Well, the last I've been reading about it is that they're dropping the name after this season. So 2021 will be the season that they'll still be called the Cleveland Indians. And of course, this team has been called the Cleveland Indians for 106 years. So all of a sudden, in this day of an age of enlightenment here in 2021, 2020, that shouldn't have never happened, folks. That's such an egregious.
Oh my God.
We've tarnished the reputation of Indian. You know, like, give me a break.
You almost wonder, is it that they're against the name so much, or were they against Chief Wahoo, but not getting rid of Chief Wahoo was enough, so they have to get rid of the whole tamale, if you will.
The hot tamale. It went out with the Mrs. Butterworth.
Oh my God.
Aunt Jemima. You know,
Uncle Ben.
You know, when I looked at those products, I had an association with those people. I was like, damn, Aunt Jemima is cool. I would buy that for that purpose, believe it or not. I love to look at Aunt Jemima. Because to me, that meant that, damn, you know, like I pictured somebody with a big, you know, smock over themselves, making pancakes and waffles to the T. I mean, you have to, that's a certain specialty.
Yeah. And I loved. And the first woman that did it became a millionaire from it.
Exactly.
Because she pushed it. She went out on the road and stuff and put out recipes, I think.
That's called American ingenuity and creativity. It had nothing to do with that's a black lady in a apron.
I never thought of that though. I never thought of the whole plantation South when I saw that. I never thought of Uncle Ben as some sort
of. I thought it was cool.
I thought it was Uncle, somebody's uncle that made rice down South.
I think it was a compliment to the people that were on those labels, obviously. So we're looking at it from a totally different light than what the youngsters, and I'll use that in air quotes, have, picked up upon and, because of their brainwashing through school, taught that everything's wrong and everything's bad. No, it's not, folks. Come on, back it up. Roll it back a little bit.
Rich, sold
the bill of goods.
We may get banned from YouTube for this.
I don't care. I hope they ban us from YouTube. Did we do something
Stop
wrong?
The steal.
Stop the steal. I have a box of Aunt Jemima, and I'm going to save it. Stop the steal. I am not buying it anymore because that picture is not on the box, and I swear.
Well, what did they change it to? I mean, have they put out another product? Or is there still Aunt Jemima on the store shelves?
No, if you find it now, you're going to look at an old box because I have one, believe it or not, that I bought a while ago, but I still have it. And,
so
it's going to be a collector's item.
So here's my question to those left-wing people out there. If you put a white woman in and called it Aunt Jemima and still sold the product, would that be satisfactory or would it be white privilege then? Then would we be pushing out a woman of color to get a white woman in? I mean,
it's crazy.
It's nuts. It's a nutty world and it's not going to get any better in this country. Not with this new president coming in. If he gets inaugurated,
I was looking at a local sign that was posted on one of the Facebook forums of a restaurant that used to be in Atlantic City called China Land. And immediately I thought to myself, oh God, these people today would have a fit. But that was one of the best Chinese restaurants owned by a local family that was par excellence, part of America, what America stands for. A Chinese family that came over here and made it big, bought a building, put their kids through the best schools, got educations. That's what it's all about, folks. You're missing the boat. But, of course, this is a baseball podcast, so I think we should hop off of this theme, Gary.
Okay, we can, but the way Rob Manfred is changing the rules in baseball, he might want to do away with the stolen bases. So then he would have the hashtag stop the steal, right?
And he is a hashtag, by the way. Excellent term for him.
Well, we're definitely finished on YouTube. Well, there's always Rumble. Maybe we'll get started over there with the...
Well, we can't go to the parlor anymore. It closed it down.
And I quit Twitter, so I'm not there anymore, so don't look for me there. But, it's crazy. And like I said, I think at the end of this week, depending upon what happens, speaking of YouTube, there's lots of religious people putting out prophecies and stuff. And a lot of them are consistent that say that Mr. Trump will serve another 4 years. And it'll be starting tomorrow, or starting Wednesday. So that there's going to be something happens in the next couple of days. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be of biblical proportions. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Maybe not the next 2 days, but I don't know. They don't give Biden much of a chance of becoming president, so... Who's to argue with the big guy, right? Not me. Certainly not me. But we'll see. But I think that's what really baseball and a lot of these announcements that are being held back are really waiting for, to see what kind of decisions start coming out of Washington, you know, about lockdowns. And they may be talking to governors or getting the feel from governors across the states right now about letting people into games, about, you know, travel between the different things. And Canada's still not the hockey teams, from what I understand, the Canadian teams are playing only in Canada. They can't come to the States, and the States teams can't go to Canada. So, you know, where does that leave Toronto again? Especially if the minor leagues start, because they last year they played in their Triple A affiliate in Buffalo. But if Buffalo's playing, how are the Blue Jays going to play? It's still a mess.
Yeah, still a lot of loose ends to be tied up. And hopefully maybe by the next time we do a podcast, we'll have a better understanding of what's going to happen. But from all we're reading about, they're planning on starting the season on time, mm-hmm. fans or no fans. So we'll look forward to that as well.
And if we're not banned, we will have another podcast. and you can become part of that podcast by giving us a call at 516-619-6341 and leave a message, a comment, or a question. Or if you'd like to help us out, you can see up here above me. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com and /baseballtalk and leaving a donation there, or going to anchor.fm/baseballtalkradioshow and leave a donation there. And Rich, that would help us out quite a bit.
Yes, it would. And I implore our listeners, go on over to Patreon, as Gary just said, patreon.com/baseballtalk. You'll see our logo here and our picture, and you can just sign up right from there. And as I was saying before on our last show, we don't have any Patreons right now. It's at zero, so you can be the first. We've had them over the years, though, so I invite you to stop by the page, click on the donate button. And if you stay with us at a certain amount for a certain time, which is $10 a month, which is a lot, for 6 months, you're going to get your choice of a mug. There's two mugs you can choose from, a larger mug and a smaller mug. So when you're having your coffee, you can think of our show. A six-month, $10 a month promo, and we're going to send you a mug. So, it's a good deal. You're getting something for free. We're getting a small donation by the time we give you the mug. But we invite you to do that. We can get some new stuff, new things going on with the program, traveling, doing things like that eventually when things open up. And as Gary said, we'd love to have you as a sponsor of the show, as well as getting in contact with us. Like Gary said, he just gave out the number. You can leave us a voicemail or send us an email, rich@baseballtalkradio.com or gary@baseballtalkradio.com. You can get right over to us. So we have a lot of listeners out there, Gary. I was just checking the stats. We're at like 87% of our listeners listen from iTunes, the Apple Tunes music store. So we thank them for listening there.
That's great. Thank you so much. And always happy to, you know, hear from our listeners and get some feedback. It really does help to see whether we're doing the right thing or, you know, there's something else you'd like to see. It helps us grow the whole Baseball Talk Radio Show community, and you should check out the other podcasts on the website, baseballtalkradio.com and baseballpodcast.net. So, you know, go check it all out. It's all there, and we're still in a pandemic and people are still working from home. So if you have time, you know, it pays to go check it out and see what we have to offer there.
Can I jump in for just a moment?
Yes, go ahead, Rich.
We've had some upgraded listenership in Amazon Alexa. We're at 4% of our listeners are listening to our show from their Amazon Alexa. So I think that's great that you can just say, play me the latest Baseball Talk Radio Show podcast and listen to our shows from those devices. Smart speakers, that includes Google and Apple. They have their own smart speakers. You can say those words, listen to the latest Baseball Talk Radio Show podcast, and hear our show. So it's making it easier for people to listen to podcasts. We're up to 5% of our listeners, Gary, listening from what they call smart speakers. So that number was at zero last year. So we're shooting up in the numbers there with smart speaker people. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much. And we're working on some things, as you'll see with this video. We're trying to do some different things and see. And maybe we'll go back to doing some live shows now and then. Rich, we used to do live and it's a hassle, but you know, we'll have to see. Maybe once in a while we'll go back to that. And
And for the most part we do record these live.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, you know, Gary mixes up the dub overs on the video, which is time consuming, and you know, everything has a cost. It's not free to produce these, and I'm not asking you to pay for them. But if you would like to subscribe, I think it would be awesome for you to do that. And if you have any questions or concerns, maybe you want to make a different arrangement with us, send us an email. We'd be glad to listen to you.
And again, you can give us a call at the hotline there. And if you have a question or a comment or a message.
What is that hotline number?
It's 516-619-6341. And Rich, I know you can't see it, but the folks watching the video can see it right now.
Awesome.
As our handsome faces are up there and a little message that I put together so they can see the number up on there and give us a break to scratch the top of our heads if we want, so we're not on camera the whole time. So
that's great. Well, thank you, everyone, and we appreciate you supporting the show.
And, Rich, you know, speaking of support, a lot of the minor league teams that were in existence last year, 2 years ago, are not going to have the support of Major League Baseball anymore, and we're starting to see lawsuits come down. And the interestingly enough, there's been two lawsuits, and they've both been from teams that played in the New York Penn League, which is no more. And the latest is the Tri-City Valley Cats are suing the Houston Astros and Major League Baseball out of arising out of the off-season contraction of minor league baseball. The first affiliate to do it was the Staten Island Yankees, who sued the parent team. The Valley Cats are seeking at least $15 million in damage. Is the crux of the team's claim is that they relied upon the now expired affiliation agreement between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball in selling tickets and advertising sponsorships, and that all lost value when they lost their affiliation. Now, the Valley Cats do remain operational. They will be a member of the MLB-partnered Frontier League, but will no longer serve as a traditional minor league affiliate. And that minor league affiliate is really, you know, that's what these small-time teams want, Rich.
Yeah. As you said, some of these leagues have been in existence for 75 years and all of a sudden wiped off the map of major league pipelines. Let's face it, you want to go to see a player that you may see on a team in 2 to 3 years. That's part of the draw of those teams. But as you said, Gary, the baseball with its heavy hand, we may not have seen the last of the lawsuits with this. In addition to just the overall theme of the MLB, where they want to control everything, sort of like establish some sort of monopoly on baseball, which I don't think is good anytime you do that.
Yeah, I agree. It's too much. I think we're seeing that now with social media, how much power Twitter and Facebook has, and even Amazon. I love Amazon. You know, when you get to be my age, you don't want to run out to the stores as much, especially in a pandemic. So Amazon's got everything you could possibly need. But, you know, these companies are bordering on monopolies. And we did a lot in the early part of the 20th century to get away, to break up monopolies. And I can see it happening again.
And I invited my the younger listeners to shop around too. Don't just rely on Amazon for your every whim. A lot of people do. I know my own son is in that millennial group. And, you know, when I talk to him and his gal, you know, oh, I'll just order on Amazon. Well, that's not always the best price. You can go to local stores right around the corner from you and save $20 or $30. Plus, you're paying Amazon, if you're a Prime member, you're paying them at least $13 a month, somewhere in that range. Although they do discount Section 8 people, which is on welfare, they give them a cheaper price. I think it's like $9 a month. Okay. So we're cutting the price by $4 a month. Thank you very much, Amazon.
But how much do they buy?
Well, that's what I mean. You'd be probably surprised. Probably quite a bit, but the whole concept of it is, as you said, with people that can't get out, shouldn't get out, especially on the pandemic, it kind of makes sense. But millennials, please don't rest every laurel on Amazon. You're making Mr. Bezos a multi-billionaire, and he's taking your money, and you're paying a lot more for products.
And I feel bad about it, but sometimes there are, as I say, with being in that age range of and being slightly on the chubby side, slightly. I'm in a high risk. I'm in a high risk category, so also my age, I will be. Well, we won't say, but I'm old enough to get a shot now, so yeah. You can go figure that out. But anyway, all of that being said, Amazon has been a godsend, and a lot of the stuff that I get that has to do with like electronics or something, it really is. I do what exactly what you say. I do check around, and there was something I was looking for. I forget what it was, and Best Buy had it, and Best Buy had it for $3 cheaper. But I wouldn't have gotten it for like 3 weeks, and I would have had to pay for shipping. With Amazon, I got it in 2 days, and I don't get charged because I'm a Prime member. So I am paying for the Prime, but you know, if you use the Prime, I mean, if you're a Prime member, there's a lot more than just the shipping, and I don't think people realize that. That's why they make money off you. But there are the videos that you can get on there and watch in your house, and so there are some things, and like you say, it's not the best, but it is a good thing for shut-ins and for seniors, and
a lot of sports people will remember some of the older ones, Sears.
Yeah,
back in the day, Sears totally dropped the ball when Amazon used to be an audio books company. Mm-hmm. Amazon started off as like a book seller.
Yeah,
they didn't start off to be what they are today.
That's right. That's
Sears
right.
should have recognized this because they had a catalog in the old days, and they couldn't stock everything at a local Sears, even though they're so big. But if you looked through the catalog and ordered it, you'd have it in 2 or 3 days. Back then, that was a fast exchange.
Right.
Sears could have been the Amazon of this world if they were just clueful about knowing that this was on the way. But they dropped the ball, and now they're out of business.
Yeah, yeah. And then, God, remember the Sears catalog used to be like... this thick.
That's what I mean. That was the equivalent of online now.
Yeah.
Catalogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could have it in 2 to 3 days, usually at your local pickup Sears, you know, but now everything would have changed. I can't believe they would have just tanked like an old ship and sunk, but
just poor management. You know, they just didn't have the foresight to see where the world was going, and
they always had a lot of sports stuff, getting back to the sports.
And they had Ted Williams. Remember Ted Williams, the famous, the Hall of Famer? He was a big spokesman for them. And they had Ted Williams baseball equipment, and Ted Williams fishing equipment was huge there because Ted Williams was an avid fisherman. And they had a lot of his stuff. And then around Christmas time, the Christmas catalog would come back, and that was always the favorite because when I was a kid, because the toys in there, I always wanted the tri-level gas station that they had, and you'd crank up and the car would go up.
Yeah, sure.
Oh my God, I'm really showing my age in this show, Rich.
And the baseball, you know, shirts and things that were on display.
Yep.
Unfortunately, all things do change, but hey, we're going to have the Field of Dream games this year, apparently, Gary. August 12th, Yankees versus White Sox in Dyersville, Iowa, which is close to where they filmed that movie, Field of Dreams. So apparently it's going to take place this year, hopefully.
Well, it better because they've got a lot of bucks into that game. You know, as you said, I believe the story was that they were originally going to play it on the same field as the movie was made, but they couldn't build it up or something, so they took land very nearby and built like I guess the equivalent to a minor league stadium or something.
Yeah.
Which they've done in the past. If you recall, a couple of years ago, they did it on the military base. They built the stadium, and they've done it in Williams. They played in Williamsport, I think, the following year. But that was in a minor league club, but they added some, you know, they built that up a little to make it more for professional baseball. So, you know, people were looking forward to this last year, and it didn't happen, of course.
Yep, so we're looking forward to that this year. And like we were talking about, spring training's about less than a month away here. Wondering, should I try it again? Number two. I got a bad feeling about it still, though. I don't really believe that, you know, fans will be a part of that. So who knows? I mean, maybe worth trip down just for the heck of it, but
well Florida see. Is open and doing well, so who knows? You know, it may who knows what they're gonna do, but as I said, I think we'll know more in the next couple of weeks. If you can wait on your plans a little bit, and you still had an interesting experience last year that you shared with us, and I urge people to go to YouTube and go check out Rich's travel journey, if it was from Florida.
I tried to make it interesting.
It was very interesting. We were Rich was live in Florida walking around the Yankees camp and
popped over to Toronto's stadium.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh.
And it was very interesting, the material that he had for us the last year. So go check that out again if you could, just to see somebody in the middle of a pandemic.
I'll take my man on the street Zoom.
Yeah. And so you're reconsidering that trip again, huh? Okay.
I'm revisiting it. Yes, indeed.
I don't think I'll be going anywhere for, you know, until this bug is completely out of the way. And unfortunately, as you said, my wife has had some health issues and has a compromised immune system, and we are both in that age and weight category that puts us at high risk. So I don't think we'll be going anywhere soon.
All right. Well, I'll have to report from the field then for you.
That's right.
Firsthand.
We'll do it live as you will.
You know what I was very struck at? I don't know if I said this during our shows last year, but the Japanese media was just about the only media that I saw really covering this game like it should have been covered. In fact, the stories that were coming out of spring training or weren't coming out of spring training, they were really the only crews that were on the scene with reports. So I thought it was amazing. You know, my kudos to them for, you know, doing the job, so to speak, and being on the scene at these places, which I was looking at them, you know, from a distance.
Well, that's a fascinating a bit. And were they masked?
At the time, no, because at that time, the mask situation wasn't an equation. In fact, I wasn't even in a mask. That was sort of not at that point recommended or even talked about, believe it or not. But yeah, they were at the Yankees spring training complex. They were at the Toronto spring training complex and, you know, getting the job done, you know, like,
yeah,
I didn't see many other media. There was a couple other media at the Yankees facility that were with them, but, overall I saw them carrying the torch, so to speak, of baseball.
Well, it's interesting because it's big over there, and I guess they were covering some specific players. Might have been over here to cover some specific players, and it just carried over. They were probably kind of trapped here as well, you know, with everything going on. So, but that's interesting to see whether or not you go again, and it'll be fun if you do it again. and can do it so
I'll declare it on my taxes as a business trip.
There you go. Well, Rich, anything else on your agenda?
I think let's see, Theo Epstein moving up to the MLB front office, left the employment of the Cubs since last year, the end of last year. President chief operations there with the Cubs, left the game. Now he's with the MLB front office. He's trying to, quote unquote, and I use this, fix the game, as they say. You know, I didn't know it was broken all that much. I know it's it's a bit bruised, but he's moved on to that. Who knows what his future lies within the baseball world, but he's taken a good step to getting something done with the MLB.
Well, Rich, and they may need him to fix the game because a former Los Angeles Angels employee, Brian Bubber Hawkins, is naming names. He was fired by the Angels last March, and he said in court papers a couple of weeks ago that multiple Cy Young winners and All-Star pitchers used illegal pitching substances distributed by Hawkins himself, according to Mike DiGiovanni of the Los Angeles Times. He named a number of former and current Angels players, including Troy Percival, Brendan Donnelly, Tyler Chatwick, Kevin Jepsen, and most recently Cam Bedrosian, Keenan Middleman, Yusmeiro Petit, Luke Bard, Matt Andrees, Dylan Peters, Jose Suarez, and Dylan Bundy. He also said he has evidence suggesting that Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Adam Wainwright, Corey Kluber, and Felix Hernandez all used an illegal pitching substance to improve their grip on the ball. So another possible cheating scandal in baseball.
Interesting. I did not see that story. So we'll probably be hearing a lot more of that one.
Well, we'll see, unless Theo Epstein can work his magic and clean the game up and bury that story at the same time.
And fix everything.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Baseball Talk Radio Show, 17th of January, rolling on here, looking forward towards the start of spring training. We'll have a lot more on player movement for the next show. And Gary, it was a pleasure.
As always, Rich, and we'll know more about the season, hopefully the next time. So we'll see you all then on the next edition of the Baseball Talk Radio Show.